Hear from Dr. Paul Florsheim. Dr. Florsheim is Associate Professor and Chair of the Faculty at the New Zilber School of Public Health at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. He's also a clinical psychologist specializing in the development of preventive intervention programs for adolescents. He'll discuss work he did while at the University of Utah in preventing intimate partner violence between adolescent mothers and young fathers in the Young Parenthood Program. Dr. Florsheim.
Thank you. This presentation will focus on the results of a randomized clinical trial of a co-parenting counseling program designed to support the interpersonal development of pregnant adolescents and their partners. The program, the Young Parenthood Program, was expected to prevent the occurrence of intimate partner violence in an at-risk sample of adolescent couples. I want to take a moment to acknowledge my collaborators who are not able to be here together, Laura MacArthur, Kim Frausto, Jason Burrow-Sanchez, Sarah Haven, and Christina Hudak, and, of course, my funders, the good people at the Office of Adolescent Pregnancy Program, who happen to be in the room. Thank you. Finally, it's important to extend my appreciation to the young couples who opened their lives to us and were true collaborators in this research endeavor. I, too, have no conflicts of interest to disclose. So, why is intimate partner violence, or IPV, among pregnant and parenting adolescents a public health concern? There are a number of harmful direct effects on the victims of intimate partner violence and indirect effects on the children of victims that are well documented in the research literature. First, pregnant women exposed to IPV are at increased risk for premature delivery and miscarriage. Second, children exposed to IPV are at risk for emotional dysregulation because they become overwhelmed with stress, which can significantly interfere with both their cognitive and social development. IPV is relatively common among adolescent couples, but it's even more prevalent among pregnant and parenting adolescents because the stress of an unplanned pregnancy often leads to intense conflict with partners. It's worth noting that although much of the violence between adolescent couples is reciprocal, where both partners are hitting each other, it's generally the case that when the conflict becomes severe, the female partner is much more likely to be injured. We believe that IPV among pregnant and parenting adolescents is a public health concern because its prevalence is great, its consequences are reverberating, and it can be largely prevented through targeted health promotion efforts. The primary goals of this project, this has a hidden slide. Is there any way for me to unhide a slide? Do you know? No? Okay, I'll just talk through this slide even though it's not there. The primary goals of this project were to support the interpersonal development of pregnant teens and their partners and prevent the occurrence of IPV, or at least curtail it. Of course, there are several ways to think about prevention and intervention with adolescents because there are several critical turning points in the transition from adolescent to adulthood, and imagine critical turning points up here. Much of the research on risk and protective factors among adolescents focuses on the adolescent as an individual or within the context of his family of origin, his or her family of origin. Much of the research on parenting focuses on adult parents and tends to target child functioning at the other end of the continuum. In the Young Parenthood study, we decided to focus on how adolescents and young adults acquire the interpersonal skills to become reasonable parents. Our approach is based on the understanding that relationships are critical to growth throughout the life cycle, most particularly during times of rapid developmental transitions. Our premise is that young men and women sometimes need extra help keeping their interpersonal development on a positive trajectory. Drawing upon the principles of attachment theory and family systems theory, we explain to our participants that their relationship, how warmly they're able to engage with each other, is an important part of their child's world for at least the first few years of his or her life. They get it. So why include fathers? It will come as no surprise to any of you that relations between poor young mothers and their co-parenting partners tend to be unstable. As romantic liaisons, many are on again and off again. Some are highly conflictual and violent. Because these relationships are so unstable, young fathers are often assumed to be peripherally involved in their children's lives, not really worth pursuing. However, the fact that many of these co-parenting relationships are unstable and prone to violence does not mean that fathers are less relevant. On the contrary, in our view, we need to develop programs designed to help young fathers become better equipped to remain positively engaged as parents, regardless of what happens to their romantic liaison. The YPP, or the Young Parenthood Program's, primary goal is to promote the development of positive relationship skills. These include the capacity to express warm feelings, provide support and reassurance, regulate hostility and de-escalate conflict, state personal needs and feelings clearly and tactfully, listen reflectively and empathically, and repair relationship damage. These are all very difficult things to achieve, as you probably know. Although the components of the model are not innovative per se, the idea of applying them to the prevention of IPV among pregnant and parenting adolescents is novel. The Young Parenthood Program is a 10 to 14-week couples-focused program delivered mostly before childbirth. The program is designed to be implemented in phases outlined in this slide and allows couples to move through the phases at varying speeds. A detailed manual helps counselors adhere to program guidelines and principles while remaining flexible and responsive to the couple's particular needs. Pregnant teens were eligible for the study if they were first-time mothers between the ages of 14 and 18 and no more than 26 weeks into the pregnancy. The eligibility for criteria for biological fathers was only that they be at least 14 and no more than 24 years old at the initial assessment. Pregnant adolescents were allowed to participate in the study only if their partner, the biological father, was also willing to participate, at least for the first research interview. 156 pregnant adolescents and their partners were recruited to participate in the study. The recruitment rate was approximately 64% of eligible participants. Half were randomized into the Young Parenthood Program. The sample was ethnically diverse, with about 60% of the participants identifying as Latino or Hispanic, about 30% as white, and about 10% as amalgam of other ethnic groups. The assessment process included a semi-structured interview that was administered to both mothers and fathers in individual meetings at time one, at time two, and time three. The interview elicited detailed information about each participant's relationship with his or her partner. Responses were coded using the Capacity for Interpersonal Bonding coding scheme developed in our lab and tested for reliability and validity using an independent sample. We focused on interpersonal competencies that were directly related to both co-parenting and parenting, including empathy, expression of warmth, acceptance of other, sense of partnership, and capacity for interpersonal growth. The interview also included questions about the occurrence of interpersonal violence or intimate partner violence. Responses to open-ended questions about conflict, fighting, physical aggression were coded on a scale of 0 to 3, with 0 indicating no violence and 3 indicating serious violence. At each point in time, time one, time two, and time three, couples were given a single IPV score that was the average of both partners' scores. The strength of this approach is that one partner could be used to help validate the scores provided by the other. This slide describes the results of a repeated measure, ANOVA, in which relationship competence scores were included as the within subject variable, meaning that it was measured twice, before random assignment and after program completion. And the treatment group was the between subjects variable, with the Young Parenthood Program intervention group represented by the blue line and the treatment as usual group represented by the green line. No, I have that mixed up. Sorry. Other lines. Differences between partners were examined, but for the sake of simplicity, we collapse these differences in this figure so that the lines represent pairs or couples. As you can see, there was a significant difference in the trajectory of relationship competence between the two groups. What is interesting about this finding is that couples in the treatment as usual group appear to be becoming less relationally competent over time, while the couples in the Young Parenthood Program group appear to maintain the same level of relational competence despite the increased stress of making the transition to parenthood. This slide describes the results of a repeat. This is sort of the punchline of this project. This slide describes the results of a repeated measure of ANOVA in which the IPV scores are the within subjects variable and treatment group was the between subjects variable, with the Young Parenthood Program intervention group again represented by the green line. As you can see, IPV scores increased in both groups over time, but the increase was more dramatic for couples in the treatment as usual group, which suggests that participants in the Young Parenthood Program were less likely to become engaged in intimate partner violence over time. So what is the relevance of this line of research for public health? From a public health perspective, it makes good sense to direct a preventive intervention intimate partner violence program to a targeted population of couples who are at risk based on status rather than behavior. Providing a couples-focused skill-building program to young pregnant women and their partners through prenatal clinics may be a non-stigmatizing way to address an issue that often lies beneath the, or flies beneath the radar until it becomes a crisis. While these results are promising, it is important to note that there's still much work to be done. One important issue is how to adapt the program for different contexts, populations, cultures. The current study focuses on a sample of mostly Latino and white couples, and it is not clear that the model tested will be effective for African-American couples or other groups of couples. We're currently working on this in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where we have consulted with local experts and young parents on adapting the program in a way that is flexible but maintains or retains its coherence. One of the most important lessons we have learned so far is that the process is as important as the product. In other words, when developing evidence-based programs, we must remain focused on the process of inquiry and considering multiple perspectives so that we do not create programs that are irrelevant and obsolete soon after they are empirically validated. Thank you.